That was dramatic. Literally, we out. Peace.
And he left.
6.5% was it? Is that what the current odds are of the Stanley Cup?
Well, and if you look at the round by round progression, the Stanley Cup favorite is the Vancouver Canucks.
Like, what a time to be alive!
Talking you through every goalie controversy, scoring slump, and draft lottery bust, this is the C4 Podcast on CanucksHockeyBlog.com. Here they are, the best starting lineup we could afford under the salary cap. Chris, Matt, Anna, and Adam.
Welcome to another episode of the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast, brought to you by CanucksHockeyBlog.com and the Full Press Coverage Network. I am Chris at Lifeforce, joined virtually by Anna Forsythe at eForsythe03, Matt Lee at MattLee_61, and back on the IR, unfit to podcast, is Adam Ovenell Carter at Adam FOC. He showed up not for last week's episode, but for last week's draft and live stream. And then this week, we don't know what's going on. He did not take his private jet to the podcast.
Is it fair to say that he might not be on the LTIR, but he's more accurately on the taxi squad at least?
But like, I guess that would be it.
But the maybe he's like Louis, like, where he gets assigned to taxi squad, comes back assigned to taxi squad again.
So we're just bringing him in to manage our podcast cap?
Exactly. Also, sorry, I realize I've only been in this house 3 days, so I forgot that there's church bells at 7 p.m. So as we started recording, the church bells started. So if you listeners got that, yeah. It's dramatic.
Like, is it hourly? Or is it like 7 p.m.? Something significant at 7 p.m.
I don't know, but 7 p.m. every night.
Did you guys, it hasn't been going off lately, but I also live in an area where, for those who don't know, I'm like in Mount Pleasant, and there's a old church that used to have bells going off at the top of every hour as well. I'm not sure if you guys have ever noticed that over the last like year or so since we started recording these virtually.
I can't say I've heard any. I'm trying to think.
Also, there's a building. Spent a lot of time in Mount Pleasant and not noticed that either.
Wasn't it like the one on like Main Street or something that?
Yeah,
I mean, I'm not even in that area, and I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's if you've ever been to the Burgoo on Main Street, it's right by there.
Okay, I figured it must be that building, but I also have never heard it. Clearly, just not very observant. Yeah.
So, I mean, this is a great podcast so far. We're talking about the church bells ringing at Anna's place,
that no one
and the
can church hear.
Bells ringing at Matt's place. It's almost akin to early C4 podcast days when the fire trucks drove by my place. They still do, but I've upgraded the setup a little bit, as opposed to like Clay, me, and my cat sitting in the main living room. Speaking of Rewind, we're going to talk about the week that was. The Vancouver Canucks are back in action, getting themselves a win at least, and pull back the curtain here. We're recording during the second period because Matt Lee has an early bedtime, so I don't know what's actually going on against Calgary right now, but we'll talk a little bit about this trip to Alberta, and then we got to set up the week that will be, thinking about the Vancouver Canucks taking on the Montreal Canadiens 3 straight times here in Vancouver. Some other odds and ends to talk about around the league, but we've got some big news to lead off Rewind. You're listening to the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast on CanucksHockeyBlog.com and the Full Press Coverage Network. Big news. The big news is...
Oh, you're pointing at me.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's sort of... I don't even know where to even start this, to be honest with you, Chris and Anna. Well, the big news is that I've decided to announce my retirement from the C4 podcast, at least in terms of regular hosting duties. You know, the long story short is life continues to happen for me, both professionally and personally. And lately I've been, sort of unable to to fulfill, I guess, the better part, my duties as a C4 co-host with you guys. And, you know, at the same time, let's not even get into the whole technical aspect of it. It's just that my internet is not as good as it should be for a virtual podcast as well. So there are so many reasons why I've made this decision to step away from the C4 podcast. It's not something I made lightly. This is a podcast that I think, Chris, you can say that we've been, at least I've been a little bit part of for almost 8 to 9 years now, ever since we were recording, you know, at the Hog Shack for some video segments with CHB TV. And all that. So, I mean, it's getting close to a decade, if anything. So obviously this is not something that I decided to do lightly. You know, our podcast has had the, you know, great honor of sort of partnering up with CKNW in the past. We got to record the studio. We've had live shows, really a lot of great memories with all of us, and including Clay and Adam as well. So, you know, this is something where, again, I didn't make this decision lately. I did think about it for quite a long time, but for me, it's a good time to take a curtain on the C4 career. And, you know, the good news is for you guys is that I continue to download, maybe not always listen, but I always download the episodes as a result. And I hope that helped bring us some popularity, at least in Angola. I mean, I have nothing but great things to say about you guys as well. It's just been such a great time working with you guys over the last few years, and I am really going to miss it. In terms of next steps, I think we have this episode and a couple more before we'll say goodbye. So next two episodes will kind of be the farewell tour, if you will.
So
farewell tour.
Bigger loss to Vancouver. Is it the Vancouver hockey market? Is it Matt Lee or Troy Stetcher? I have my vote. Ooh. But
you know, I didn't realize you were going to bring Troy from Richmond out. This makes it a much more difficult decision.
Yeah. I mean, considering the Calgary game's on right now, I thought I would avoid the obvious two players there. But
well, I mean, Matt, there's no way Matt's like a Chris Tanev or a Jacob Markstrom. Maybe a Josh Levo.
Oh, I was I wasn't even going to go to Josh Levo, to be honest with you. I was hoping more for a Louis Domingue thing. I mean, at least I'm a baked goods type of person or something. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, but Louis Domingue is just way more good looking than you.
And when have you baked a pie?
Ooh. I think the last time has been, do pot pies count?
No. Unless you made it from scratch. Actually,
from scratch. If you made it from scratch.
Nope, then no.
No. Putting it in the oven does not count.
No.
Matt's like, but no, it was more than that. I took it out of the box. No, it you know, you mentioned the decade and I sort of rolled my eyes. I'm like, what are you talking about? The podcast's not that long. But yeah, if we go back to like the days of blogging with Canucks Hockey Blog and CHB TV, it's been over a decade that we've been, you know, working together, creating content. And you've been harassing me nonstop the entire time. Like I remember when Matt Lee was only yay tall and like was, you know, fresh out of high school almost. That's how long we've been working together. You're still yay tall, but you're no longer fresh out of high school.
Fun.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I got to get it all in.
Yeah, I was going to say he's just teasing you so it'll be easier saying goodbye.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, like I mentioned, I think I'm really happy to see where C4 is sort of in right now. I know that we've got a lot of people who download and listen. I am happy to say that like I'll still be very active in Discord, so I'm not going away completely. So I'll still be able to engage with a lot of our listeners. This is merely me sort of stepping back away from the normal podcast duties. So I'll still be there in Discord and I'll still be promoting us on Discord as well. So it's not going away forever and it's just kind of more taking a step back right now.
Well, at least we have two more weeks of you dropping in random Canuck greats or remixes like Redeem Verbatim.
I'm pretty proud of that one, to be honest with you guys.
I was going to say that sounds like a Don Cherry-ism, but I don't think he would even get that close to a European name like Redeem Verbatim.
No, no, not at all. Well, you know, as we sit here and reminisce about our good times together, and we'll spend more time doing it over the next couple of shows, let's reminisce about the week that was for the Vancouver Canucks. So they kicked off their 2021 NHL season by heading straight into the heart of Alberta, Edmonton, and just going to rapid fire the result of the three games that we have a result for. The Vancouver Canucks kicked off their season by winning 5-3 over the Edmonton Oilers, followed that up with a 5-2 loss against the Edmonton Oilers, and this weekend put up a good old stinker, losing to the Flames 3-0. We're sort of talking about tonight, kind of, too. We'll sort of give updates as they come in. Right now, the Vancouver Canucks are leading the Calgary Flames 1-0. Shotgun Jake scoring that goal. They should be up something like 5-0, but Adam Gaudette's having a struggle of a game so far. He's playing well. He's just not getting those opportunities to cash in. As I told Anna before we clicked record, he's good in the gulag, not so good in the game.
It's good in the gulag, better than being good in the room.
Yeah, I don't know what either of those mean.
Well, no, good in the room? You know what good in the room is.
Oh, I know what good in the room is, Eric Goodbranson. Yes. And I know what good in the game is, but I don't know what the gulag reference was.
Yeah. If you're good in the gulag, that's good, but that's actually not good. Because you found your way there. So anyhow, all our gamers will totally get it. All of our non-gamers, not so much. Just trust us. Adam Gaudette's having a struggle. But let's go back to that first game to kick off the season. Holtby got the start. As I tried to tell everyone how right I was, the two of you were trying to pop my ego bubble. And arguably, the Oilers and Canucks took a swing at good old 80s hockey, where defense is maybe second thought, third thought. Offense was first. And we learned that Quinn Hughes is unstoppable when sitting on his butt with his back to the net.
That was just, yeah, that was a moment of magic.
I mean, the best way of putting it is Quinn Hughes really putting the ass in assist on that play, for sure.
How long have you been saving that up
since that happened? For a few days, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
The other thing that we got out of that game as well is that apparently we need to figure out what's in the ice in Edmonton and ensure that all other Canadian rinks put whatever is in the ice in Edmonton on the ice in their rink so Bo Horvat can show up and play like the Bo we saw in the bubble. He kicked things off in that game and arguably had some really good hockey in him.
Yeah, I mean, as much as those games showed the absence of the first line without JT Miller on it, it really showed the second line clicking. Hoglander, in his NHL debut, stepped up to the plate. Like, Bo was really good on that line. So, yeah, that second line looked really good.
Brock Besser on the top line there, just decided to notch a couple. You look at the Vancouver Canucks and they were in maybe not complete control, but as close as you can get to against the Oilers in that first game. And that also, you know, spoke highly as to how well they were able to control the likes of Dreisaitl and McDavid. You know, Edmonton has some issues. We'll maybe get into them a little bit later. But as is the modus operandi, keep those two out, and there isn't a whole lot else that you have to worry about, so long as you can take advantage of the fact that the Oilers do not have what one might call a number one NHL goaltender on their roster.
Or an NHL goaltender at all.
I mean,
true.
The hilarious part about the Edmonton Oilers is they've got Mikko Koskinen, they've got Mike Smith, and oh boy, I can't even remember who their third stringer was. He's a recent third round pick, if I remember correctly. Backed up Mikko Koskinen on the back end of the back to back with the Vancouver Canucks, but it's like Koskinen, Mike Smith, are either of those guys even a 1B goaltender right now? And just imagine what it would be like if, you know, Mikko Koskinen were to suffer a day-to-day injury. Like, whew, the Edmonton Oilers are this close to trotting out, like, you know, Kelly Rudy to be their third string goaltender these days.
Oh my God. Kelly would totally go for it.
And I was going to say, Kelly might not be a bad choice considering the Oilers right now are considering amateur tryouts. I don't know if it actually came to resolution, but they were considering ATOs to ensure they have enough goaltenders to meet the NHL requirement of three.
Yeah, but David Ayers lives in Toronto, correct?
Yes, he's. I cannot imagine he's going to go look for another job to drive the Zamboni elsewhere.
He's. I mean, David Ayers undefeated in his NHL career.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
He's got experience playing against Canadian division teams.
Yeah.
Or team.
Team. Yeah.
But, you know, you look at Edmonton in that first game, and everything that we had said going into the game in the last episode happened. The Vancouver Canucks took advantage of the Oilers. They controlled the two players they had to worry the most about. Everything was looking roses. So can someone explain to me how that so drastically changed the following night? When you look at the Vancouver Canucks losing 5-2, not only are they losing 5-2, but special teams is a big difference here. Not only do the Vancouver Canucks give up two power play markers, but their power play looked bad.
So, two words, Connor McDavid, first of all.
I figured that would be your answer.
Yeah, I mean, all due respect to the Vancouver Canucks, they did a great job in game one of shutting out Connor McDavid, but there's probably slim and no chance that that was going to happen for a second consecutive night, keeping the best player in the world off his game. You know, even going back to game one, Connor McDavid could have had a hat trick, and it was Connor McDavid unleashed in game two. I mean, he just flew by some of those Canuck players on those goals. It was ridiculous. And, you know, to quote from an old pal of ours, Adam Ovenell Carter, is there a superstar more boring than Connor McDavid? No, but at least Connor McDavid's putting up the points.
Every season.
Yeah, it's true. He's just so fast. I mean, I don't think it's the Canucks defense are particularly fast to keep up with him, apart from maybe Quinn, but like, he's just on another level how fast he is
and the control and his ability
of the puck, just
yeah, that's what I was gonna say. It's even the speed to take advantage of an issue the moment it occurs. Like there was a conversation in C4 Discord, and I think Jay raised that point that there was a play where Edler goes and makes not the best choice with the puck on McDavid's stick, and Connor's like, thank you, and immediately goes inside. Like it wasn't This is not Edler making a, you know, a silly play. He simply guessed wrong and didn't have any opportunity to adapt or recover because McDavid is able to just sort of, you know, pivot in a phone booth.
Yeah. It's like Connor skates fast, he dekes fast, and he thinks fast. And that's not an excuse because you clearly can do something about it, but he was on. That second game, he was just, yeah, on.
You know, outside of the hat trick, though, we also saw, you know, the Edmonton Oilers actually get goaltending. But I was going to sort of ask this question. Did we see goaltending or did we see the Canucks' inability to take advantage of poor goaltending?
Yeah, for me, I mean, I think it's the latter. The Vancouver Canucks were they were worth the price of admission in game one, but they looked a lot flatter in game two. And, you know, against the Edmonton Oilers, you have to take advantage of the chances you do get. And the Canucks did have some chances, but they looked like they were lacking a little bit of urgency in game two and were maybe resting on their laurels a little bit from game one.
Yeah, I think as far as say, Canucks have a tradition of making below average goalies look like all-stars, and yeah, it didn't seem like they had the same kind of urgency to their game that they did in game one.
Now, we talked a little bit about this off the top-ish of Rewind, I guess not, because we talked about Matt, but when it comes to goaltending at Edmonton, how surprised were you to hear that Mike Smith was not able to dress, and that they were going to run back Koskinen? Like, in my mind, the moment I heard that news, I'm like, oh, the Vancouver Canucks are coming out of this with 4 points. Like, I could not fathom a game that the Canucks were to lose, even a high-scoring game. Demko got his first start. He didn't look shaky, but he didn't look secure. Like, Holtby seemed to be sort of the stable of the two goaltenders. And, I mean, when we get into the weekend, maybe that can come back into dispute. But.
I mean, it's interesting. I think the first few minutes, there was a play where Thatcher Demko makes a, like, robbery highlight reel save against the Edmonton Oilers. And, you know, you thought for a second, like, oh, here we go again. Like, here comes out of his mind Thatcher Demko that we were getting in the bubble. And, of course, mm-hmm. we know what happened from there, and it's funny. But, yeah, to your point, Chris, not an ideal opening opening game, rather, from Thatcher Demko in game two. To start his season, you know, I think it's unreasonable to expect Thatcher Demko to be as unbeatable and unflappable as he did against the Vegas Golden Knights. But he certainly didn't sort of make any case to steal the game for the Canucks either.
Yeah, I think we're almost waiting for a goalie to just have a standout performance. And it hasn't happened yet. Even in the win against Edmonton, you can see mm-hmm. Holtby looked solid, but it wasn't any sort of standing on its head performance. Maybe because we saw so many from Markstrom, but that also speaks to how many standout performances Markstrom had to make behind that Vancouver D. So I guess we're looking for an answer of, you know, who's the better goaltender right now, and we don't really have one.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about that game on Saturday. Vancouver Canucks lose to the Calgary Flames 3-0. The loss 3-0, rough in a number of ways. One, that was Jacob Markstrom's first game against his previous team, our Vancouver Canucks, and he showed up. Markstrom decided that he wasn't going to allow the Vancouver Canucks any leeway. That's not to suggest the Canucks really made him sweat too much. But before we talk about the game, I wonder how many of our listeners took my advice and put money down on that Jacob Markstrom gets a shutout in any game against the Vancouver Canucks. It paid $350 when we had talked about it last. You could have made some serious money. If I tell you to put money on, take it to the bank. Take it to the bank.
Yeah. Guess Matt isn't the one giving betting tips all the time. I wouldn't trust Matt's betting tips anyway. He it's in his interest not to give good ones.
Actually, I think it's in his interest not to give any, good or bad. Wow. But I do hope one of our listeners cashed in. And if so, thank you for taking me seriously. But let's talk a little bit about the game. Holtby goes back in the net. And if you thought that we were going to get Wednesday Holtby, we got not Wednesday Holtby. Now, arguably, though, do you think this game reminded him of his experience in Washington where defense was optional and he'd see a whole lot of that that puck? I feel that that's almost how the Vancouver Canucks took that game.
Yeah, what was that Nate Schmidt, like, mic'd up moment where he says, I've never seen so many shots in one game. It's like, yeah, welcome to Vancouver, buddy. It's a tough gig. Mm-hmm. It's a tough goaltending gig. But you've got to think that playing against so few teams will help the goalies out in the long run. You would think that they can start figuring out shooters a bit more. But
yeah. Well, and the Vancouver Canucks gave up, I think it was 35 shots. Now, in fairness, they actually got shots themselves, but the bulk of that came in the latter part of the game when they were already looking at the score, I thought it came in the later part of the game, but no, they were actually pretty balanced each period, 11, 10, 11. The key difference here is the type of shots that the Flames were getting. I mean, they scored 3 goals in the power play to win 3-0. When you're going 500 on the power play, you're probably going to win the game. And the Canucks had opportunities themselves on special teams, albeit not as many, and they were able to muster diddly squish. So
yeah, I mean, if you're looking at the first few games of the season, really, it's been special teams that's made the difference between the Canucks being a 1-2 team and the Canucks from being a 3-0 team. I believe the Canucks have not scored a power play goal in either loss this season. And to your point, Chris, are only 50% right now on the penalty kill as well. So if you look at it just from a pure numbers perspective, yeah, the Canucks need to be better on special teams, and they just simply haven't been thus far.
Yeah, I think our overpaid Jags, that's where they earn their money on, is on the PK. And if you're not doing your job there, it really doesn't give the Canucks enough chance to stay in games. There was a couple of, you know, over the two losses, a couple of pretty bad penalties, but you're going to take some penalties. So you've got to be strong with that PK. And I think we have seen, obviously, the lack of depth on the scoring side, but yeah, that PK needs to be better.
Early, very, very early. But I'm maybe not as surprised about the power play, because, you know, the Canucks power play, it has sort of come in and gone since Noel Brown has been, you know, running the show again. It's the penalty kill that I'm actually more surprised by. And the fact that, you know, against Calgary, there was no such thing really as a penalty kill, considering how well the Flames were able to move the puck. It just felt like it was a matter of time. If the Canucks were going to the box, it was like, okay, you've just dug yourself into a much deeper hole. What's different from, you know, let's say last year's team to this year's team? Chris Tanev? Louis Erickson? Well, no, I mean, that was one of the things that Louis did. I'm not suggesting he plays himself in the lineup, but hey, if you look at the conversation in C4 Discord, I think even Matt, you were of the belief that Louis was going to find his way into this roster, because what else? Now, as we learned, JT Miller was on the 7-day quarantine special or whatever. There's like a 7, 10, and a 14 or something.
I can't read like any more rules about it. I'll just wait and see what happens, because when people talk about windows and how that affects the cap, and I'm just, it's very complicated this year, and I know we're going to have to get used to it, but.
You know, but as a segue, the Vancouver Canucks so far, I mean, I just checked, it was 1-0 for the Canucks still.
It is not 1-0 for the Canucks still.
They are 2-1 down.
Oh, wow. So my refresh on Canucks.com is not paying off. Oh, yeah, well, no, it is now.
Okay, I was going to say, I believe that's powered by the NHL.com and the NHL app, which often struggles. So, not shocked that you're behind, but yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah, no, so it was a 2 goals in less than a minute.
Flames
yeah,
have come
no, just over a minute.
Flames have come out very strong this period compared to, they looked a little flat in the first, but Canucks looked flat for most of the game on Saturday, so Flames already doing better than that.
I mean, we can get into the next segment, but I mean, if you were to try and peg individual players here who are quote unquote to blame for the first two losses of the season, any names come out to mind to you guys?
The Tylers. Tyler Myers' lackluster defense, Tyler Mott's dumb penalties. I think we're
omitting a pretty significant name, but.
Wait, who? Okay.
Go ahead.
Should we take a break and then we can get right to it?
No. Let's get to it right now.
Okay.
Let's get to it right now.
I mean, come on. You're 3 games into the season. Vancouver Canucks midway through the second period right now, and 40 doesn't have a goal yet this season. I know JT Miller hasn't played in most of those games, but Elias Pettersson had a great opportunity just in the first period here against the Calgary Flames and didn't cash in. You know, the Canucks power play has been goose-egged since the Edmonton went off the start of the season, and Elias Pettersson has not jump-started the power play like he's supposed to. I mean, here's the thing. It would be a very foolish thing to count out Elias Pettersson, but this is a situation where you needed him to rise to the occasion while JT Miller was out, and it has been tough for him to do so. That's all I'm going to say. And I'm not saying he's solely to blame, but Pettersson is one of many, I think, that needs to step up here.
I don't disagree, but to consider that being like, let's think, take another look at this. If all it requires you to do is to shut down Petey, or for Petey not to produce, and this team is done, that speaks more critically about depth, which I think is actually the bigger thing to blame. Now, Miller is playing in Calgary right now. It did look like somehow, you know, it magically turned the team around. Sportsnet was dropping the, you know, fire up the team in the room in the bubble. As again, being good in the room is important. That's how teams get wins. I'm not entirely sold that that's the case, but if you were to tell me, Chris, depth's an issue, and here's where what's going wrong. When if Petey doesn't produce, there isn't sort of a plan B, or if the power play can't produce, there's no plan B. Like there's a lot of if this, and that's where I have concern. But we're only three games-ish into the season.
Can I offer another name? And it was someone not on the ice, and I'm not talking about JT Miller's false positive result. Like, lack of depth. Who's to blame for that?
Well, it's the GM that I'm not a big fan of.
Quite so. I'm just saying, like, obviously we've been used to a top line producing at a clip, but if they don't produce, that can't be it. Yeah. That can't be our whole plan.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just as we sort of wrap up this segment on these sort of final thoughts, Matt kicked off a real solid conversation this past weekend in C4 Discord when he argued that tonight's game was a must-win game. And if you happen to watch our live pre-show, he double-downed on that. When he started to waffle, he then committed to not only, you know, setting the table, eating at the table, clearing at the table, that this was a must-win. It's not looking good. It's not trending that way right now. But if this was a must win, the must win is because of a lack of depth. And that's a story we continue as Canuck fans, I think, to see time and time again. I would love to say there's a lot of depth, but we have yet to sort of see that proven out. If we go back quite a few years, like even to the Gillis era, where I won't argue that Mike Gillis always had necessarily depth behind the roster. The roster itself was deep enough to handle a few players dropping out, whereas now that doesn't really exist. And we sort of saw that when we heard the term the window was shutting. Shut down the Sedins, there really wasn't anything else he had to worry about when it came to Vancouver, unless it was a hot goaltender. And hey, look what Jacob Markstrom was able to do with that. He turned it into a big deal in Calgary. So, anywho, I'm trying to judge Matt's facial expressions because I think you're watching the game.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
well,
I was going to say quickly that, first of all, we're in the dying moments of the second period here, and Elias Pettersson took an undisciplined offensive zone penalty. And just when you think it couldn't get worse, Tyler Myers takes an undisciplined defensive zone penalty on the penalty kill where he chops Matthew Tkachuk in the face. And now the Flames are heading on to a two-man advantage to end out the second period here. So
I will say that Pettersson penalty didn't come from nothing. I don't want to hop back, but like Pettersson isn't Swedish for cross-check me in the back.
Oh, Brian Burke over here.
Said.
Well, as we take a moment here to gather our thoughts and share our hopes and prayers, you're listening to the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast and CanucksHockeyBlog.com on the Forecast Coverage Network.
Take hitting out of the game. You can't hit anymore, so don't do it.
The unsportsmanlike conduct, I want to get an explanation on that.
No kidding.
Because how do you get suspended for unsportsmanlike conduct?
Plus interference. There's no interference there. He had the puck.
Now, Madison never ever did that before. Now, why did he do it? And that, because he was mad.
Well, your early favorite for the Calder Trophy, that's for sure. Elias Pettersson, you might even say your early favorite for the Hart Trophy.
Just to get back to your question, Elias is going to play plenty of heat and play. He's going to get a lot of power play time. And, yeah, I'm concerned about our offense. We lost 200-point players. and we've got to find a way to score.
Regardless of the result tonight and Matt's declaration that this is a must-win game, the Vancouver Canucks still have at least three more games prior to our next episode. And those three games are at home, if you we can call it home because there aren't really any people there, against the Montreal Canadiens. That's Wednesday night, Thursday night, and a nice early 4 p.m. start on Hockey Night in Canada on Saturday night. I'm curious how we expect this, you know, Vancouver Canucks team to perform against the Habs making their trip out west. Again, it is too early. I'm not committing this to being must-win territory at all. But Montreal right now is, you know, sitting, you know, with a decent start. They got a win in an overtime loss. So arguably they're getting points. That's what you need to get. Vancouver not getting so many points as we're sort of seeing. Carey Price in the net. I'm going to guess two out of those three. I'm not going to lie. I'm a little worried.
Yeah.
I mean, I think anything's possible in any of those games, to be perfectly honest. I think Montreal's kind of going into the season flying under the radar a little bit. So I think that there's the possibility you see them rise to the occasion. But I think you're right for the most part, Chris.
Yeah, I think their defensive discipline does scare me a bit. I mean, they obviously had that bomb burner of a game to open the season, but that's the least. And they seem to be pretty good at keeping their opponent's offense down. So that's what would scare me.
Well, I mean, the difference maker in that first game was, you know, Wayne Simmonds, because, I mean, he single-handedly turned it around. That's that's basically what I understand took place. Am I wrong? I mean,
I see.
But when we look at the matchup, Vancouver against Montreal, even though, yes, it's a long trip out west and to, you know, the Canucks, you would think would get a bump finally sort of opening up the season at home. I'm thinking the edge does go to Montreal. And if I were to sort of, again, too early to guess, but I'm going to give the Habs two out of three games there. And I'm not thinking the Vancouver Canucks are pulling overtime points out of it. I genuinely feel the Canucks are maybe only getting one win out of the three.
Yeah. And as Meatloaf said, two out of three ain't bad. Unless you're the Canucks on the losing end of that.
Then it's not good. Then devil, you know, negative Meatloaf.
Negative Meatloaf. That sounds like a death metal band or something. Honestly, I could see that happening. I mean, long trip out west. They're already in Alberta, so, right? Or are they at home right now? No, they're in Edmonton. Is that correct?
Actually, yeah, they're... They're in Edmonton, currently up 1-0.
There you go. So, yeah, I mean, they'll be fine from that perspective. Carey Price still looks decent. And it's just so easy to see how the Canucks, like, fall apart quite quickly. It's like the opposite of a 60-minute effort. They go hard, then they go home.
So they might just have go home because they're at home?
Yeah, I guess so.
You know, and there's people right now listening like, oh my God, I can't believe you're so negative. It's far too early. Like the Vancouver Canucks could bloody well win, you know, those three games by a combined score of 20-3 for all we know. It's just like we haven't had a preseason. We're trying to judge how this team's performing in Alberta. The only real stinker they had was that game on Saturday against the Flames. They're having some issues tonight, as I'm being told. I don't have the opportunity to watch the game, but I'll check in with Baby Force, who is right now. And what I have seen from Montreal, though, is none of that.
Yeah, obviously we want to see the Canucks at home before we make judgments, but you know, they haven't been home yet. They're not sleeping in their own beds. Obviously, there's no home crowd advantage, but it's a little easier on the players. But in a season like this one, you can't rely on stuff like that. It's going to be so tricky in terms of fitness and stamina to get through the season. So, again, we're not saying, yeah, they could come out firing in this homestand, but it doesn't. What we've seen so far doesn't fill us with confidence on that front.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing that you sort of talked to, and you know, it's been a pretty tough 4-game road trip for the Vancouver Canucks. This is a situation where you know, you're trying to play games, you're trying to make it as normal of a regular season as you can in a pandemic. Part of me wonders just like if the Vancouver Canucks are just trying to get out of the building these days, like if they're just trying to get home, get back to their families. You know, I think that's part of the psychology of trying to play a regular season under weirder circumstances than usual. And I'm going to be curious, not just this road trip, but just like all road trips, because there's going to be a lot of long road trips too in a condensed, shortened season. I'm just curious to see how the Canucks will respond at the beginning of road trips and at the end of road trips as well. And, you know, if you're looking at just this 4-game sample size, are the Vancouver Canucks well served to try and get as many points as possible in the first part of a road trip, because it makes that last part of the road trip that much sort of easier to digest no matter what? Just thinking out loud here.
I mean, yeah, you might be right, and I guess this is our first kind of time to test that theory. We'll see how the Canucks respond, but I think, as Chris said in our iota earlier, this season it won't be about, like, hot streaks will get you, like, big swings and will put you in the playoff picture, and Canucks could lose 4 or 5 in a row, but then go on a run and they're right back in contention. So I think, as we said, way too early, but it will be interesting to see how the Canucks respond at home compared to, you know, starting the game, the season 4 games away from home.
Yeah. And yeah, that point, swing hockey is what we need to get accustomed to. Yeah. Vancouver Canucks didn't have the best road trip, or potentially the best road trip in Calgary. Third period's to come, things could turn around. But if they leave, you know, Edmonton and Calgary with a possible 4 points, I don't think really there's any real issue with that. I want more, but whatever. 500 hockey to start the season isn't the worst. I think the concern is the lackluster play we're seeing, some of the stupid penalties. But regardless of whatever happens, if the Canucks then come home and win 3 against the Habs, and let's say, for argument's sake, they win a 4th against Ottawa next Monday night, that puts the Canucks right at the top of the division, the Scotia North division. So swing hockey, it's possible. Yeah. There's no you're out of it. It's just, again, just difficult. So difficult
thing
to prognosticate.
As much as, you know, we can talk about how much harder the Western Conference has it than the Eastern Conference, the travel that Canucks have to do in a normal season, blah, 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 you do think over the course of a whole full season, traveling across the country more or less evens out, so that the teams playing the best hockey are the teams at the top of the standings. More or less. Mm-hmm. And I can't say with confidence that's going to happen this season at all.
Yeah. We'll take ourselves another quick break here. You listen to the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast on CanucksHockeyBlog.com and the Full Press Coverage Network.
He liked to say the F word.
Well, then get the F here then. Yeah. Okay, see ya.
F off.
Is going to have the F word on it.
I wish I could give you a explanation about it. I can't.
You out of here.
You said the F word, Dad.
You called me the F word.
By now, you've probably heard that an NHL player took issue with a not so much the question that was asked by a reporter, but the reporter himself, and used some colorfully descriptive adjectives to help convey the opinion that I don't believe you are going to write what I tell you. You will write whatever you want. When this went down, it's during essentially a broadcasted Zoom call, because all the post-game interviews are done virtually, and Voracek shared his opinion, his feelings. You could tell there are, based on, I can't remember who it was that was sitting next to him, but the reaction is like, sorry, what? Oh my goodness, keep my face resolute. Oh, I do not want to react.
I believe it was Bo's first cousin.
Travis,
connect me. I mean, he doesn't keep track of much, but yeah, it was. I have two thoughts on this, but sorry, okay. Chris, if you wanted to.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, he has since, Voracek has since been talked to or spoken to by the league, who have explained to him not good. There are a number of people who, rightly or wrongly, have dropped the, you make this much money, just shut up and take it, because somehow you can be paid as much money as possible and be told to do whatever the heck you should do. But then the counter to this is, how often do we as fans wish we saw personality instead of the Bull Durham Nuke Lelouch, six lines to, press conferences? So I'm not a big fan of the colorful adjectives. That's just a me issue. I've got no problem with a player going about it saying, ask the question. I don't think you're going to write what I say, but yeah, be witty about it. Anyhow, Anna?
The only thing I would say is it's really hard to be a reporter in COVID times. I think it's hard to be a hockey reporter anyways, because they give such boring answers, but to try and get an answer out of them when, you only have the players that the team put up, you have such a weird environment, there's no opportunity to have a one-on-one. So that's the caveat. But you know what? Jake was honest. He was forthright. He was stuck up for himself. And the fact that most reporters liked it and thought it was a shame that he was, brought to task, I think does show that, one, we need more personality in the game of hockey, and the league needs to stop shutting that down. What do you think, Matt?
I mean, I see what Jake Voracek said, and first of all, the Europeans are winning week one of the NHL. If you heard Jake Voracek's comments, you had a reporter ask Patrick Alane what he thought after Nick Ehlers suggested that he was, I can't remember what it was, and then he called Nikolai Ehlers a pigeon. So, I think it's kind of good that players are showing their color early on the season. And frankly, I think the NHL needs more personalities like that. You're not a fan of the profanities that are used, but too often we get bogged down in players giving the hockey lingo and the same old answers. And I don't know, it part of me thought it was kind of refreshing from Jacob Voracek to give such a candid and honest answer.
Anna, you raised a point there about it being tough to be a reporter for the NHL, really any sport right now. I mean, reporters in general are in a tough spot for a variety of reasons that we won't get into on our podcast. And I hadn't really considered that. I think, when we think about the virtual experience that's taking place, and obviously the tension and emotions that are running high for all sorts of people, I may be less bullish on Voracek going off like he did. I think there are better ways. I won't say I don't like the personality, though. I would love for players to be able to sort of speak their mind and share their opinion as he did. to what, you know, the point that Matt and you both raised. I think the one area though that just drives me nuts, I've seen, you know, far too many people in my timeline on Twitter, on social media, drop the whole, these players are paid, you know, X millions of dollars. They just need to shut up and do their job. I'm sorry. When you pay someone who has to do anything without an opinion, there's another word to describe that, and that's not what this is. So if you were a listener who's like, well, wait a minute, they're paid this much money, they need to suck it up. You know what? They're paid that much money because they're able to negotiate that much money. I wish I could negotiate that much money. I just don't have the economics to be able to do it in my role. But conversely, for every right that I have to say to this, that, and everything, I understand the repercussions. Voracek understood the potential repercussions. Maybe not clearly when he was saying those words, but yeah.
Yeah, 100%. I was having this conversation recently about cricketers who have gone through, if anything, more strenuous conditions to play than hockey players with the amount of bio bubbles and restrictions they've been under. You know, like, it doesn't matter how much money you have, you're not a robot. Like, more money doesn't mean they can spend time with their family and friends like they normally would. More money, like, doesn't mean you're immune to anxiety or issues like that. You know, people are human. Do I wish that society didn't put the absurd amount of value on sports that they do? Yeah. Like, there's worthier ways to spend money, but you know, that's how much sports people get paid. Doesn't mean they're not, you can treat them like products.
Yeah. Completely off the rails, but somewhat related. Another podcast that I've started listening to called Think Like an Economist, short form podcast. A number of the recent episodes sort of talk about the context of why sort of NHL players are able to go and get paid as much as they do compared to other professions. So it's a real, real neat podcast, educational. They did not pay me for this plug. Oh, but yeah. That's definitely one for the books. I'm curious for all of our listeners, whether you're in C4 Discord, you're online or whatever. What are your thoughts on Jacob Voracek? Were you big on his response? Do you want to see more personality like that? Again, I mean, it's perfectly fine to add caveats. Like, I'd rather he not use this language, or I'd rather, you know, it be done differently. Or alternatively, are you just like, nah, just give me the, I'd rather cliche. It's perfectly fine. I'm not going to tell anyone they're wrong, but.
Quick, just button to that. I think it would have been a like awesome move if the Flyers fined Voracek for swearing, like for the language, but backed him up on the rest. You know, just that would have been a great petty move there. But that's,
you know, what they need to do. Just get Gritty to do the next one, and he just holds up signs with symbols on it.
Yeah, I like that. You should be in hockey marketing, Chris.
I'm sorry, Gritty can do anything and there is no wrong.
Agreed. There's no morality in his universe.
No. 3-1. Oh, man.
I mean, hopefully we finish this podcast, Canucks mount a resurgence, and we look stupid tomorrow. I'm perfectly happy with that.
Hey, you know what? I'd actually adjust that to, we look more stupid than we normally do.
Mm. Exactly.
Yeah.
A quick side note before we end the show here. The Dead Lee has officially completed his heel turn. The Dead Lee, who most of you know, was a huge Bo Horvat fan and his former neighbor. And he was also a very staunch Jacob Markstrom supporter and was very much in favor of Vancouver Canucks retaining Jacob Markstrom in free agency. And now that Jacob Markstrom has left the Canucks for the Calgary Flames, has been very anti-Demko and very anti-Holtby, saying the Canucks goaltending is just not as good. And he's right, but I guess he's officially completed his heel turn. Probably is going to order his Jacob Markstrom Calgary Flames jersey, and we'll talk about how bad the Vancouver Canucks are.
I thought you were going to say fire. He's just turned on Jacob Marsham, like, as soon as
oh,
he
no,
left.
Oh, no, no, no. I wish he would.
Well, I mean, that was kind of a roller coaster, the way Matt was positioning it. Because yeah. at first he talked about Bo Horvat. So I'm like, oh, Bo's getting the heat because he moved. Then it was like, yeah, right, Jacob Markstrom. Oh, he turned on Markstrom because he's a flame. But no, the fact that he's turning on the entire Canucks team and going Calgary, that's a whole different level. Maybe we need to get the, you know, the Dad Lee to join us as our new regular host.
I know. I mean, at this point, yeah, he's so anti-Vancouver Canucks. I don't think he's made for a Canucks podcast at this point.
Oh, so as we look to wrap up our show, if for some reason you missed it because you fast-forwarded through Rewind, Matt dropped the news that he is parting ways with C4. He's only got a couple shows left. He'll be kicking around in Discord, and you'll see him show up. I'm guaranteed Matt's going to be like, I want to be on the show tonight. That's how he's going to do it.
No,
it won't be like we invite him back as a guest.
I would never and kick the door down when I want to. If you guys ask me, I will try and make my way through my schedule to get on the show for you guys. But yeah.
But that leaves just Anna and me.
Yeah, but we have friends. We can find some friends.
Well, I mean, I hope you do. I'm told I do not have too many friends.
I got told I had
okay, all my friends.
Too many friends by a border agent once. So there you go.
That's interesting. I was going to say, all of the friends that I ever had have been on this show at some point in time, and I'm running out of them because they keep leaving.
That's sad.
Yeah. But we'll have to figure things out. And maybe we'll have to hit the podcasting, free agent market.
The classifieds.
Or do we draft? Yeah, classifieds. Is there an amateur draft for podcasting?
Yeah. I don't know which round I would go in. But I think I'm more Brandon Sutter, Jay Beagle these days than a Leon Draisaitl type of...
I was going to say, I think you're heading off to retire to Europe, right?
LTI retired.
Yeah, he's going to join the KHL podcast system.
On Robidoux Island.
Exactly. That's it.
What final words of wisdom do you have for all of the listeners there? Redeem verbatim?
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it a few times, but the Vancouver Canucks are 20 minutes away from losing a must-win game and heading home, and I'd love to be proven wrong. So the Vancouver Canucks can end this four-game road trip with a 2-2 record, but not looking great right now.
Anna?
To leave things on a rather cryptic note, if you saw my tweet promoting the show the other week, this time you did hear the alarm.
Did I?
Well, it went off, so I guess you guys did.
My final words of wisdom. It is not a must-win game. Although I do wish that they prove us wrong and actually win the game in the third. Win deterred. But this week will be an interesting week, obviously, with the Montreal coming to town, as we talked about. And I do hope the Vancouver Canucks find a way to turn things around. If you haven't done so already, you want to join C4 Discord, discord.io/C4podcast. It's a place for all the best conversation you can't find this side of Canucks Twitter. We talk about video games, food, booze, hockey, booze, video games, and food, sort of in that order. You can see some of the hottest takes that Matt has, including the one about whether or not someone needs to walk away with 40 grand or potentially, was it three times that if the Kansas City Chiefs win the Super Bowl?
Yeah, it was actually four times that. Almost
four times. Okay, I'd take the money. I'd have 40 grand in my pocket right now. Yeah. No way after watching Mahomes hit the ground like he did. Am I thinking that that's even a chance now? Follow us on Twitter at the C4 Podcast, facebook.com/C4Podcast. And as always, please, if you've reached this far in the show, drop us a review in whatever podcast application you happen to listen to us in. And if you need a helping hand to do so, go to podchaser.com/C4Podcast. Drop us a review there. Not only can you review the show, you can review each and every episode on Podchaser. So on behalf of Taxi Squad, Adam Ovenell, Carter at Adam FOC, Anna Forsyth at E4603, Matley at Matley underscore 61, myself, Chris at Light Force, we're going to sign this podcast episode off with those magical words of, we're out.